Okay, we are on Chesamet Aleph, and we're in the sugya of a man being mekadesh a woman with silk. Let's come back to that. And it's the central issue is, must something given for kedushin be appraised in advance? We have the machlokes, Rabba and Rav Yosef. If a man was mekadesh a woman with silk, but she didn't know what it was worth beforehand, and only afterwards did we determine it. Rava says we don't need to appraise the silk before the kedushin. The kedushin is valid. Rav Yosef says the silk must be appraised and the kedushin is not valid. We had two versions of the machlokes. It appears according to every version, if the guy said it was worth 50 and they find out it's not worth 50, it's for sure not a kedushin because it was false representation. According to another, and everybody agrees that there is an argument. If he said it was worth 50 and it was not appraised yet, and then it was worth 50. So Rabbi says, still okay, even though we didn't appraise it. Well, Rios says, no, she needs to have been certain about it beforehand. Then there's another version that says, and they also argue, if it was Makadosh, you're just saying, for whatever it's worth, for whatever it's worth. Where Rabba will say it's okay. Rav Yosef says no, because Rav Yosef says, because whatever it's worth, it's got to be like money. We know exactly what money's worth. Forget about, you know, her being totally certain, but we got to know what money's worth and what it's worth has to be. So Rav Yosef wanted to bring one proof to his position from a brisa that Rava was able to reject. Now we're going to bring one more proof in this sugya. Again, Rav Yosef trying to prove his point that it's very important to evaluate, to appraise something before, and if you don't, it doesn't work, from another area of the Torah. And that's what we're going to pick it up in a moment. In a moment. No, we're about more than a third away down the page of Chesamet Aleph. First word on the line, Amar Rav Yosef. Okay, a little bit more than a third way down the page. I should make it a little bigger. Okay. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is going to bring another proof to his position that you need the appraisal beforehand. Mina amin alach. Where do I know this law that silk has to be appraised before kedushin happens? Titania will learn from the following brisa. Now we're switching gears and we're talking about the mitzvah of pidyon haben. There's a biblical mitzvah to redeem a firstborn son by giving 5 silver coins to a kohen. The question is, can you use a substitute for the silver coins? Can you use something that's worth 5 silver coins without exactly it being 5 silver coins? What if you give the person a calf that's worth 5 silver coins and the coin's very happy to take the calf instead of the 5 silver coins? Is that a legitimate way of redeeming a firstborn son? That is the issue that this brisa is speaking about. Okay, Titania, we learn in a brisa the following. The person says, Egel ze lepidyon bini. The father says, listen, Kohen, although the Torah says I have to redeem him with 5 selas, in our case, I'm presenting you a calf instead of that money. Or, talis ze lepidyon bini. Or this garment instead of the redemption money for my son. Is this an effective way of doing it? The brisa says, Lo Amar Klum. He has said nothing. The son is not redeemed. It does not work. Finished. But what if the father says this? Still Brisa. What if he says, Egel ze b'chameish saloy l'pidyon bini. Accept this calf as the 5 selas for the redemption of my son. He's adding that this is worth five sellas. The first time he didn't say it was worth five sellas. Now he's saying this is as good as five sellas, and maybe even better. Maybe the kohen needed to buy a calf, and now he's saving the trip of taking the five sellas and going to the store and buying the calf. Maybe the kohen said, you know, I'm very busy, you know, it'd be a big help for me if you gave me a calf instead of five sellas, but make sure it's worth five sellas. This guy says, here's a calf worth five sellas. Or he says, talis zu, or this garment, b'chamei shloim l'pidya b'ni. This is for the five shloim for the redemption of my son. Does that work? The Braisa says, b'no padui, the son is redeemed. That's the law. Now we have to analyze exactly what's going on to say the difference, why in the first case is it not redeemed, and why is the second case yes redeemed. So the Gemara now says, "Hi, pigeon. This case of redemption. Hey, chidami. How do we understand the case? What exactly was the value of this money, especially in the ratio in the first case? How do we understand this? Ilema. If you're going to say delo shavi, if you want to say that the garment or the calf that the father gave is not worth five. Now, in other words, was the calf worth five silver coins or not? So if you're going to say it really wasn't worth five silver coins, okay, then why would the redemption work in the second case? Right? So, kol kaminei. Is it really in the father's power to make a redemption when he doesn't give five sellas? So, in other words, we wanted to say, well, it wasn't worth five sellas, that's why it didn't work in the ratio. Yeah, but wait a minute, but how's it work in the safer? So, you're going to say that? No, we can't say it's not worth five coins, or else you get redeemed. Torah says it's got to be worth five. Elawa, lav, apal, gav, deshavi. We gotta say that the calf is worth five coins. And that's why it works in the second part. It's worth five coins. So, but why doesn't it work in the beginning? In the first half it was worth five coins. Right? What are we gonna say? Even though it's worth five coins. Vekivan, delo, kaitzi, lo. But since in the Bryce's first case, it wasn't appraised, he just gave it. He didn't say it was worth five. So that's why it doesn't work. In other words, why in the ratio did it not work? The guy says, listen, here is my cow instead of the redemption. So what was the problem over there? You know, if it was worth five, then why doesn't it work? Even though he didn't say it. You know, the only difference in the ratio in the Seifa is in the Seifa he says it's worth five. Now, you gotta be speaking, you know, to compare apples to oranges, apples to apples, ration, save it, the actual worth of the calf has to be the same in both cases. So what was the difference? In one case he says it's five, in the other case he didn't say it's five. So what was it? Was it worth five or was it not worth five? Well, if it wasn't worth five, it would never work. Is Ella what? It is worth five. That's why it works in the second case when he says it's five. So why did it not work in the first case? We'll have to say because he didn't appraise it. That's why he didn't say it was five, even though it could be five. But perhaps he didn't appraise it. And we say, oh, if it doesn't appraise, you can't use it for redemption. So the same thing you give a woman a silk and don't appraise it, it won't work as well. And that's the proof they want to bring from there. Okay. Now, and that's how the Rashba explains that in the Bryce's second case, where we say it is good, the redemption is valid because an appraisal had already been made. The Bryce's phrase, accept this garment as five sellas, is to be interpreted as, accept this garment which has been appraised to be worth five sellas. So the Rashba is learning Gemara's question like this. The Resha, the first part says that here, take this cow, this calf, instead of the money for my son, where he did not appraise it. Even though it was worth five sellas, but he didn't appraise it and say, I've appraised it, it's for sure worth five. The second case, it says redeem it instead of the five, right? That's where he appraised it for five. Right. So that would seem to be the proof. Isn't that the case? How else could we understand this? So it must be a proof that you have to appraise the silk as well. The Gemara says, no, that's not the only way to learn this brisa. You could learn this brisa another way. Well, no. The brisa can be explained, the difference in the ratio and seifa differently. We could say, le'olam, we could always say, delo shavi. It's not worth five. It's not worth five. Wait a minute, if it's not worth five, why does it help in the second case? I'll tell you why. Ukagon de kovil kohen ilavei. The circumstances are such that the kohen is happy to accept these items as if they are actually worth 5 sellers. That's why the redemption is valid. In other words, it's not worth 5. So the ratio that says I'm going to exchange the cow and instead of the 5 coins is where the coin didn't want to accept it for less than 5. The second case is teaching us an insight that if the coin is agreeable to it, instead of 5, take the cow and it's worth less than 5. It can work, and that's what it's talking about. We're speaking where it's not worth 5, and we ask, well, if it's not worth 5, how could it be a redemption? The answer is the coin accepts the loss. You know, you're giving it to the coin, you're not giving it to Hashem now. See, when you're redeeming this firstborn, it's not like you're giving it to Hashem. The coin gets it, he keeps does whatever he wants with it.
Where does 5 sales come from? The Torah or the coin?
The Torah talks about that, but but it's for the coin's benefit. So if it's for the coin's benefit, coin can be meichel on it. He can concede it. Says, listen, you know, for me, a cow is worth more than 5 right now. I really could use that cow right now. It's worth much more than 5.
Even if it hasn't been appraised, he accepts it.
Well, we're not talking about appraisal. Because this opinion, Rabba says, you don't need appraisal.
Yeah, exactly.
He says, let's learn a price. You don't need appraisal. So what's the difference? The difference is, the first case is, the coin's not happy to take it for less than 5. In the second case, he is happy to take less than 5. Now, how do you know that such an idea works? How do you know that a person can take something for less than that amount? Well, it depends on the person. And we give a couple examples of this.
Yeah, for the price of said that it wasn't a redemption.
Because the coin was not willing to take it for less than 5. The difference in the ration, the safe, for the first case is no good. The coin says, I don't want it for less than 5, for it doesn't work.
Yeah,
if he's willing to take it for less than 5, that's the second case. The Brisa says, here's my cow instead of the redemption. That's the case where it was worth less than 5. And the coin didn't say, I'm happy to take it for less than 5. The second case where he says, it's instead of the 5, is speaking where the coin is saying, I'm happy to take it for less than the 5. And therefore has nothing to do with appraisal at all. And how do we know that such a thing works? Ki hada Rav Kahana, we see by Rav Kahana, shakal sudra, mi bei pidyon haben. Rav Kahana, look what he did. He accepted a handkerchief worth less than 5 sellers for the redemption of his son, of a son. So Rav Kahana was a coin, and it was a real story. He says, listen, instead of the 5 sellers, give me this handkerchief. Not unless it's not a handkerchief, since it was a head covering, an expensive head covering, whatever. So you see, you don't have to have 5 sellers. And why? Because Rav Kahana even explained it. He said, Amar Lei, he said to the father, as the exchange was about to happen, Lididi, for me, as far as I'm concerned, Chazili, Chamesh Slayim, that this handkerchief is worth 5 sellers for me. I'm happy to take it instead of 5 sellers. Whatever, right now he needs it. He needs it right now. Someone's saying, you know, just listening to a commercial for a money talk show. Lady says, you know, some ATM machines will charge you, if it's not your local bank, will charge you $4 for a transaction. Says you're kind of foolish to withdraw $20 for a $4 exchange. That's a 25% on your money. To which I said to myself, yeah, but you know what? If you want to buy a Coke right now and you happen to be in another store and you don't want to schlep all the way to another bank, she said, go home and get $20 cash. You know, there's a certain price value. You know what? I don't want to go. I'm thirsty now. I want a Dr. Pepper now. I am thirsty. I'm going out of town. I don't want to go back to my house 10 minutes backwards. And I'm willing to pay $4, even though it's outrageous to pay $4. It turns out for a Dr. Pepper, you're spending $6.50 for a Dr. Pepper. But you know what? It's worth it for me. It
cost you $4 to go home and back.
Whatever. So the coin could say the same thing. For whatever reason, he needs this kerchief now. He needs it right now. What does it help me to have 5 slime? Maybe he's a popular coin. He can get 50 slime by the time the day's over. Right now, he needs a kerchief. So the coin's entitled to say, that's what I want. So therefore, there's no proof. You know, we don't have to resolve the beginning and ending of this price of saying the difference is if you had an appraisal or not. It's not due to appraisal. All right? Interesting. Let's see. The coin would say, what's this? To me, this is worth 5 sellers. Look, he says 7. I estimate this to be worth 5 sellers to me. I will accept it as this amount. As the Gemara explains, Lord Rav Kana was a man of great stature. It was not fitting for him to go about with his head uncovered. He was therefore able to claim that for him, the kerchief was worth more than a general market value. Because a man like Rav Kana, you know, he's a big rabbi. You know, can you imagine a big rabbi? Big rabbis always wear hats wherever they go. Black hat, wherever they go. Swimming, back, I mean, they always wear a black hat, right? You ever see a big rabbi without a hat on? Never, right? Imagine this rabbi, all of a sudden the wind blew his hat off. Now he's got to go out in public without put a hat on. And he goes to this guy and says, listen, I got to go in public, you know, what do you got? Well, I've got 5 slime. I can't cover my head with 5 slime. Well, I got a kerchief over here. Okay, for me, it's worth it now. I'm an important man. The press is going to take pictures of me without a hat on. That's not going to be good. So for me, it's worth it for me 5 slime. So that's how we understand the difference. So it has nothing to do with appraisals. Now, Rav Ashi just qualifies this and say, well, when can you ever say it's worth it for me? Just qualifying it. Rav Ashi qualifies Rav Kahana saying, how come it's clearly not worth 5 slime? How can you say it's worth 5 slime? The Armin El Kagon Rav Kahana, it has to be somebody like Rav Kahana, we could say it's worth 5 slime, because why? The Gavra Rabahu, he was a very esteemed person, and it's not fitting for him to go without a covering, and therefore for him, he could say it is worth 5 slime. But another Kohen who's not such an important person, Avol Kuli Alma, but the general population could not accept a kerchief as a redemption of the 5 slime, because you can't say that that is of a great value. You understand? Only somebody like a Rav Kahana. So the Brisa is speaking in a case where for that person, the cow or the kerchief or the talis is worth 5 slime. But if you're not a person of high stature, you can't say it's worth it that much. Look, he brings the Rambam rules that ordinary Kohanim may indeed accept utensils for redemption at prices that exceed their market value. He thus seems to understand that Rav Ashi's qualification applies to kerchiefs specifically. That is, Rav Ashi rules that kerchiefs may not be accepted by ordinary Kohanim for a higher value, but other types of items may be. Rabbo, however, interprets Gemara to mean, Rashba, rather, to mean that ordinary Kohanim do not have the right to accept any lesser value item. Okay, so to Machlokas, if in general Kohanim. But here it was good enough. So we have to learn the Brisa. Rabba will learn the Brisa is, the Reisha says it's not good to give the cow, because the Kohen feels it's not worth it for me. It's not worth 5 slime, so I don't want it. The Sevenet says it is acceptable, because here he's saying, for me, it's worth it. And if such a person, if he legitimately is worth it, that's good enough. And we're not talking about making an evaluation beforehand or not.
So essentially, it's up to the Kohen.
It's up to the type of person he is.
Well, no, that's different.
Well, the Kohen. Well, the Kohen here. The type of a Kohen he is.
Or he's up to his needs at the time.
Yes.
So
that's what the Bryce is talking about.
If he's a man of stature or whatever.
Like, well, a man of stature is a classic example of it, though.
Just one example, but that's what he needs at that time.
That's right. And now another example of a person, a man of stature, Kiha de Mar Bar Rav Ashi. Similar situation we have with Mar Bar Rav Ashi. What happened over there? Zovan Sudra Meimid Rabba. He bought a kerchief from the mother of Rabba from in Kuf, in a place called Kuf. That's a city. He bought a kerchief from the mother of Rabba. Okay, so what's going on in the story over there? That Shave Asara Betlesar. The kerchief was worth 10, but he paid 13 for it. Why would he pay 13 if it was worth 10? Because he needed it. You know, he was desperately needed. A man of that stature needed it. He was willing to pay more. I don't want to get to the issue of overpayment, but if for you it's worth 13, then it becomes worth 13. So there's no proof from this price at all. So coming back to our original Shaila, Rav Yosef, right? He would brought 2 prices as proofs, and Rabba rejected both prices as not being proofs. So how does this sugya conclude? Sugya concludes, the resolutions are as follows, based on what we've come to. We haven't proved or disproved anybody. So let's look at the 3 cases now. Well, one thing's for sure. If a man was mekadesh a woman with silk and told her it's worth 50 and it's not, it is not a kiddushin. She did not agree to be kiddushes for less. Everybody agrees to that one. Now, the next case, if a man was mekadesh woman with silk and told her it's worth 50, and it is, but it was appraised after the kiddushin, and that's where I should have put a bracket in there. Rabba does not require an appraisal for it is worth 50. Rav Yosef requires an appraisal. Since women do not know the value, it is not appraised. She does not, if it is not appraised, she does not resolve that she wants to be mekudeshes. The Gemara does not rule in this area. Gemara does not give it to some achlokas without a psak. We didn't find a winner in that case. Now, if a man, that clearly agrees there is a machlokas there. If it was worth 50, but it wasn't evaluated before, there is a machlokas. On the other hand, if a man was makadosh with silk and told that he is makadosh her with koldu, any amount, now there are two versions. First version says it's not a machlokas. Second version says it is a machlokas. There's two versions if Rabbi and Rav Yosef argue here as well, or all agree that no appraisal is needed. So I went a little further, and what is indeed, if you look in the Shulchan, what is the halacha? The halacha is the kiddushin are valid in the last two cases, and it works. That is the halacha. So it comes out again. If the guy says it's worth 50 and it's not worth 50, everybody agrees that's not a kiddushin. But if the guy says, here it is, and I'm not telling you, I'm not suggesting any value. Whatever it is, as is, we hold it's a good kiddushin. If the guy says it's worth 50 and they didn't evaluate it, and then later we see it was worth 50, it's a good kiddushin. That's what we rule. Even though the Gemara is unresolved, that's how we rule. So now, shall we come back to what you mentioned yesterday? So when a man gives a woman a ring, okay, now you have to understand a few things over here. On the one hand, if there would be a false represent, what it comes out of this? If there's a false representation, it's not a good kiddushin, correct? If the guy said it was worth 50 and it wasn't worth 50, that's a false representation. If on the guy made no representation at all, he said, I'm telling you one thing. You know this silk is worth more than a pruta. I'm not telling you how much it's worth though. It's for sure worth a pruta. And whatever else you might think it's worth, it's up to you to think so, but I'm not. We paskin, it's okay. So therefore, when you give a ring to a woman, you're very particular what kind of ring you give her. Now, if you give her a simple gold band, right? Then, and you're not saying what it's worth. You're saying, here's a gold band. We go to the Adam and say, do you think it's worth a pruta? Yes, it's worth a pruta. We turn to the woman and say, here's a gold band that we know is at least worth a pruta. Are you willing to take it? The guy is not telling you how much it's costing here, but he's telling you it's worth at least a pruta. Are you willing to marry him for that? And she says, yes, there's no problem. That's exactly the case of kol tohu. Whatever it's worth, it's for sure worth a pruta. Now, here's what you're not allowed to do. What are you not allowed to do? You're not allowed to give her a ring with a stone on it. With a diamond on it. Because once you put a diamond there, you're already suggesting it's worth more money. Now, what it's worth, who knows? But the woman will start getting ideas of what it's worth. Oh, it's got it looks like a 1-carat diamond. It looks like at least $5,000-$6,000 over here. And then it turns out that it was really a junk diamond. It's a diamond, but the cut is bad and all this, or maybe it's cubic zirconium. You know, maybe the guy paid $5,000, but the jeweler cheated him. It was only cubic zirconium for $39.50. So therefore, you are not allowed to give a woman a ring with a stone on it unless, well, this is already, you know, unless you would get it appraised, give her the appraisal, and say, here's a $5,000 ring that is worth $5,000. I got it appraised by 3 appraisers because 1 appraiser wouldn't necessarily be enough because there's crooks in this business. Definitely there's crooks in this business. 3 different appraisers, they all said ballpark. You know, and he takes the lowest appraisal value, let's say. Say, here, okay, one said it was worth 5, one said 4.5, one said 4. Okay, I'm telling you, at least it's worth $4,000. And now then technically you could give her. But we don't do that because, you know, people aren't going to do that. You know, that's the problem. Rabbinically, we'd say, wait a minute, you appraise, and the next one doesn't know you appraise. It just says, oh, I can give a ring with a diamond on it. And they don't appraise, and she does know the value, or she assumes that. Then you get all kinds of problems. That is why we insist that the ring has nothing to suggest any big value to it besides the fact that it is past the threshold of being worth a pruta. And therefore, it's kind of interesting. I don't know. I don't know in the Goyish world. I don't know what they do when with this ring I do thee wed. I don't know if they give her diamonds or not. I don't know. I've never been to a Goyish wedding. But in a Jewish wedding, it's a very... Now, the engagement ring can be a nice ring, but that has nothing to do with Kiddushin. When the boy and a girl, nice from boy and girl, get engaged, so he buys her a ring. Now, this is really not necessary from a halachic point of view. You know, from a halachic point of view, because there is no Kiddushin. Now, it could be it's just a throwback to the olden era, where the Kiddushin was sort of a real Kiddushin, it was sort of an engagement, right? And there was a real ring given, but certainly not with a stone, right? So therefore, you know, and from a halachic point of view, just because you get engaged, it's really nothing. It's just a verbal saying, we're going to get engaged. There's nothing more than that. No need to give her anything. Of course, there is this custom that people have this expectation. You got to go and, you know, hock the house to buy the ring, you know, but it's totally, totally not necessary at all. And what is necessary is when you get married and the kiddushin happens, you have to give her something worth a shava pruta. And therefore, to be sure about that, and therefore, you know, the rabbis are strict, and we don't want any nothing, no grooves, no nothing that would seem to imply this is beyond the basic, because there could be the possibility the woman is conjecturing that it's worth of a substantial value, and then she could be disappointed, and then the kiddushin will not be a valid kiddushin. Clear?
So I have a question. Why is there an issue about it, that you have to say it's worth at least a pruta? Because that's an insignificant, that's like a penny or something. Everything is worth, this is worth a pruta. Everything is...
Okay, let me ask you like this. You smoke cigars? Do you know anybody who smokes cigars? Anybody smoke a cigar?
Yep.
Okay, what's around the cigar?
A band.
Right? You slip it off. That band is not worth a prut. You open up a Cracker Jack box. You know, little kids have little baby childish rings. It's round. It's a ring. You know, is it worth a penny? No. So it's got to be worth a pruta. So not every ring is worth a pruta. You know, what do you do? The guy forgot the ring. What are you going to do? The guy says, no problem, I got a cigar here. Here. How am I going to sleep with this ring? So it's got to be worth at least a pruta. And again, it's not going to happen often, but at least we have to have that minimum threshold value.
Why don't we, you know, that whole... discussion we had with the Kohen. So why don't we apply that to a woman and say, she could say, for me this is worth more than a pruta.
Or, well, maybe she could.
And therefore... It
maybe, really because remember what we said? What if she gives a rich man a gift and he accepts it? What did we say? And he's the kind of man that they give from people. We said it's a good kiddushin. Even though she didn't get anything, remember? We had cases where she received nothing.
Okay, yeah, he said the word.
But it's worth it for me. Give the money to that guy, I'll be married to you.
Right.
Well, you didn't get anything. Well, the pleasure I'm getting is worth a pruta. So the same thing. She could say, you know, this thing, I feel it's worth, she'd have to say it. As far as, for me, right now, it's worth a pruta.
So the Gemara doesn't talk about it here because it's...
Well, we already know that she doesn't have to receive anything and she can get married. That's certainly, she receives zero, but it's got to be a pleasure, the pleasure of at least a pruta that a rich man accepted the money from her. So that would be fine.
Or maybe she just had to get married and she just, the pleasure to get married.
Yeah, but she has to feel, no, that's not enough. She has to feel that this is, for me, is worth a pruta. So there's some kind of pleasure in the giving, not just being married. There's a difference. I get married even if you gave me nothing. I'm so desperate. No, but the law is he has to give you something worth a pruta. So you have to at least say, for me, this is worth a pruta. So when you gave the money to somebody else, I'm getting the pleasure. My brother's getting the money. For me, that's worth a pruta. So if he gives her something she could use, let's say she has a lot of wax in her ear. She's having trouble hearing the wedding ceremony. He says, here, I have because it's with this Q-tip. And I said, well, this Q-tip right now is worth more than a pruta because I can't hear anything. Oh, yeah, now I can hear everything. For me, that's worth a pruta. I don't know, crazy case, but I'm just trying to figure something, right? So that would make it for that to work. Okay, now, let's give you, to whet your appetite for tomorrow, we're going to finish this sugya. To whet your appetite for tomorrow, let's just look at the very first line of the next thing, and that's where we're going to start tomorrow. Amar Rabbi Elazar, what if a man says the following? Hiskat shali b'mana. I want you to be with me for a mana. Now that's a lot of money. That's a heck of a lot more than a pruta. Right? It's a lot. He says, I want to get married with a mana. And what does he do? And it's a lot more than a dinar. That's a very, like a hundred, let's say $100 bill, which is right? V'nasan la dinar. But all he gives her is a dinar, which is much less. Oh, look, it says, 100 silver dinars are a mana. So the guy's promising her 100 dinars, and he gives her one. Is it a good kiddushin or not? Yeah. Gemara says, Hareze mekudeshes. It is a good kiddushin. The yashlim, but of course, only under the condition that he pays her the rest at a later time. So that's what we're going to investigate. The whole point being is, how do we view the giving of what you say you're giving? Does it have to be right away in the beginning? Or do we assume it's just the beginning of a process? And that's the discussion we're going to talk about. Do you have to have everything up front? Well, what you're promising or not? And how does that have to happen? That's what we'll talk about tomorrow.